is Earth Files, the award-winning news site with the latest updates in science, environment, and real X-Files. Podcasting in-depth reports beyond the 6 o'clock news by Emmy Award-winning journalist Linda Moulton Howe.
1 year ago, on June 7th, 2008, I received an email from a man who retired from an astrophysics career and is now a semi-retired technology consultant for electronic and electro-optics industries living in Timber Lake, North Carolina. Mike Reed worked at the University of Arizona in Tucson on the Multi-Mirror Telescope at Mount Hopkins. That's a joint venture with the Harvard-Smithsonian Observatory. He had been studying an aerial photograph of the June 1, 2008, crop formation in barley at Barbary Castle, Wiltshire, England, and he emailed me a discovery. His email was dated June 5, 2008. Hello, Earth Files. On looking at the Barbary Castle pattern, the ratio of the angles of the radial jumps is apparently the first 10 digits of the mathematical constant pi to 3.14159265.4. The definition of pi is the ratio of the circumference of a circle to the diameter. Mike Reed concluded his email with, quote, "The fact that the pi decimal point is included and there is rounding up to 10 decimal places is to me a little mind-boggling," close quote. An Australian scientist who requests anonymity contacted Mike Reed about the pi discovery, and the two men continued a collaboration in analyses of other 2008 crop formation patterns. When the spring 2009 crop patterns in England started April 14th at the Ridgeway near Avebury, the scientists proposed that the pattern was a megalithic sundial that was followed soon after at the West Kennet Longborough, also near Avebury, by what might be a solar eclipse counter based on Mayan glyphs and symbols. Then came a large and precisely defined sunburst at Rutland's Farm, also near Avebury. The sun seemed to be the theme, and on April 24th came a pattern the scientists interpreted as three monthly phase cycles of the Earth's moon. When that lunar cycle information was combined with the next oilseed rape pattern at Peaks Down near Swindon, perhaps about solar flares and the apogee and perigee of a full moon, the scientists ask, quote, "What will happen on the sun July 7th, 2009? Close quote. And a countdown began. Would there be an outstanding solar event on that date? I think it is stunning that the most intense sunspot activity in nearly 3 years of an abnormally quiet sun occurred between July 5th and 6th, right up to July 7th. There was a solar physics meeting in Boulder, Colorado in mid-June, and the hot topic was, why is the sun so quiet and when will it come back alive? Then sunspot 1024 erupted suddenly on July 5th, each spot the size of the Earth, 8,000 miles in diameter. Perhaps the spring 2009 oilseed rape crop formations were a test to see who would pay attention. Now we need a Rosetta Stone for the June 30th Milk Hill alien symbols, the June 27th Southfield electrical grids, and beyond. On July 7th, I interviewed physicist Mike Reed about his perspective of the sudden, huge, and intense sunspot 1024 forming within 48 hours of July 7th, 2009.
It's interesting that the original timing came from Morgan Hill, I think it was.
Right.
And that pointed to the 7th, which was the partial eclipse of the moon. So there was an astronomical event that was going to occur on that date. We associated that with the sun, and it certainly looked pretty valid in a lot of those cases.
And is so close. The drama of going from a quiet sun to intensity that is being described at spaceweather.com as the single most intense sunspot eruption in over 2 years, and that it is so close to July 7th, it is as if something was making us pay attention to the sun at exactly the time that it suddenly went into intensity again.
That's true. That certainly is valid. I think the interpretation of a lot of the symbols in terms of a major event that was going to affect the Earth, maybe we got overly enthusiastic. And when you look at a situation in April where you've got a completely quiet sun and there's no indication that anything is going to happen, nobody knew. Remember you interviewing several solar scientists, their point was, hey, we have absolutely no idea when the thing is going to wake up again. So then to have the crop circles pointing towards the fact that there should be solar activity certainly is significant. The fact that the July 7th date came up and that something was going to happen, well, something did happen. It wasn't as maybe spectacular as we had thought, perhaps, but certainly from the point of view of a very active solar area, that certainly did occur. That 1024 particularly is an extremely active area. And you can see the magnetic loops in it very strong. And when you watch the hourly movie of it, it's incredibly active.
Right.
So certainly in that sense, the overall timing, the overall predictive situation, I think, is valid. One of the other issues may be that the fact that it has now become active, if you took away the focus on July the 7th and looked back over the last few months, there have been quite a few things that seem to relate to the sun, and they were interpreted in terms of a potential event on July the 7th. If you simply said they're an event that could occur on the sun as part of this cycle, then perhaps what it's saying is this is going to be a whopper in the sense that it's going to be a very strong solar cycle. And I think there are some physicists that feel that's the case just based on the physics of previous solar sunspot cycles, that we're due for a fairly major cycle this time. And certainly, if the formations become more and more intense, and we do get more intense solar storms, there will be repercussions in terms of potential power outages and some of the effects that these things can have, breakdown in communications and things like that. So certainly as we go forward, if this turns out to be an extremely active period going towards 2013, it's going to be more and more important.
And out of April to July 7th, 2009, it might be argued that this is the beginning of a language communication, that finally there is a breakthrough through you who have started trying to look at the embedded math and astronomical data in crop formations. And now we may stand at a crossroads where going forward, you all are beginning to see and understand things that were never seen before, and that it may become extremely valuable as we move forward toward the next solar max to be able to have at least this kind of dialogue.
Yes, and I think one of the things that comes out of the last couple of months is the introduction of these strange symbol fields, which have never been seen before. I mean, they've seen a lot of individual symbols and so on, but nothing like these strings of symbols. Frankly, they look sort of gibberish, but at this point, all that means is we just don't understand anything about what they're doing. So it'll be interesting to see whether or not they are repeated. If that form of formation continues, the more it does, the better the chances of finding a Rosetta Stone embedded somewhere where some characters get repeated or some structures become familiar and may well be capable of being decoded in some intelligent fashion. There are certain symbols that have been showing up. One of them is the decreasing rectangular spiral, which has shown up different times.
In Milk Hill.
Right. Yeah, and it's repeated several times. And it's also something that shows up. I think it's the day symbol in the Mayan glyphs, symbol of the day. And also, there definitely are symbols that are equivalent to the Mayan number system. 11, 13, and 1 showed up several times. So it's certainly interesting that you're getting some things like that. The rest of it is totally incomprehensible at this point.
Charles Mallett confirmed each of those five strings was 700 feet long and it made the entire formation more than 1,100 feet.
You don't do that overnight.
No.
Particularly when it's raining.
On Tuesday, June 30th, 2009, Charles Mallett, who manages the Silent Circle Research Center in Compton Bassett, Wiltshire, England, learned that a third stage of strange symbols had been added to the Milk Hill summer solstice pattern. That afternoon, he walked the long five strings of alien symbols, estimating each line to be at least 700 feet long. All the symbols were, quote, precise and clean, and each line was no more than 3 to 4 feet from the next line. There was no mud on any of the symbols that I examined, even though it had rained off and on all night long of June 29th to 30th, close quote. Could you address what you saw in terms of the symbols themselves? As I understand, they look pristine and perfect.
Yeah, regarding the Milk Hill one, yeah, they are pristine and perfect. Most people that went there and looked at it really liked it. And as you can tell from the photography, it's very well defined, very sharp, perfect in practically all ways. But scratching around along the edges of the peripheral areas, there's constant and regular crushing on the plant.
Okay, how in the world would any human beings in the dark between 10 p.m. and 4 a.m. put down five lines 700 feet long?
I don't know.
I don't think it's possible.
I couldn't do that, and I don't know anybody that could do that. I could not do it. I don't know. But the physical damage on the plants in the afternoon of the first day, and, you know, this is the afternoon of the first day in the summer, lots of people had been there, and it is possible that it could have been tampered with, I guess. Whether anybody likes it or not, it was there. It could be trashed by somebody on purpose. It could be possibly made by people. I don't know. I don't know how they could do it, but for all I know, that kind of damage could occur in some kind of paranormally generated delivery system, because we don't have a complete and full understanding of the energetic source behind the genuine phenomena. It's hard to know what the actual damage is, but to my logical human mind, the kind of damage I would see along the peripheries is consistent with people's damage.
Do you know what the weather was like?
Yeah, it definitely did rain through the later part of the night, and reasonably heavily as well, enough to make it muddy.
That makes Milk Hill even more extraordinary. 700 feet of five lines of pristine symbols on a rainy night?
Yeah, interesting. You know, I mean, that was my first question. In fact, a friend of mine went there before me. And I said, you know, when you get there, have a look and have a real good look for mud, because it should be covered in mud if it's faked, because it had rained that night, but it wasn't muddy.
Right. Well, I think that the 500-700-foot strings of extraordinary symbols that were pristine and not muddy has to stand as phenomenal in the true sense of the word phenomenal.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, when I kind of stood in there, looked at it and started walking down it, and it just goes on and on, and there's like miles of this stuff. It's pretty phenomenal that can occur overnight.
Physicist Mike Reed also agrees that anything over 1,000 feet long with five lines 700 feet long of what look like alien symbols is pretty phenomenal. Here now, Mike Reed continues. If you were speculating about the intelligence behind Milk Hill and Southfield and the spring oilseed rape formations, what would you speculate might be the reasons for why they have worked so hard to focus attention on the sun and astronomical cycles?
If this is going to be an extremely strong solar cycle, then I would expect to see these things showing up again and again. I'd also expect, if in fact this kind of communication is going on, that there would be these character strings being repeated with new information in them, which we don't understand, but there may be some ability to start to see what's going on in them. And having that refer in some way to the solar cycle, it seems that most of what has gone on so far this year was related to the sun. but in terms of the implication that pay attention to the sun, I think is perhaps the bottom line. It's very much like you're looking at the hieroglyphics, and without the Rosetta Stone, you're kind of sunk. The way they're repeated and so on means they actually have meaning.
Right, and you sort of are the breakthrough when it comes to pi in 2008. That is a breakthrough that says there is high intelligence embedding information in these crop formations.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, because just to think up this stuff.
Right.
I know there's some good graphic designers or something. Just, you know, day after day to be coming up with these things.
The crop formations between April 14th and about mid-June of 2009 in the oilseed rape specifically could not have been made by humans.
Right. I think that's the smoking gun, in the sense that it's an impossible thing to do by manual means. And those are the ones that specifically pointed directly to solar activity in terms of images that obviously look like an angry, active sun.
We are perhaps for the very first time beginning to relate to crop formations as an alien language, in quotes, and that what we need is a Rosetta Stone to accelerate the understanding, and that the summer of 2009 might yet bring us that Rosetta Stone.
Yeah, if those are the only times that kind of symbology is used, well, then it's kind of an anomaly. But if we get other formations where those kinds of character strings or symbolic strings are repeated, then that's going to get very interesting, because then hopefully one can start to look for repeated characters and so on and see if we can't make some sense out of them.
And come up with a common language between whatever the intelligence is behind these extraordinary crop formations and us humans.
Yeah, the graphic part sometimes is fairly straightforward, but those symbols are just, frankly, they're bizarre. It's hard to imagine the mind that created them. Symbol strings, when they're as long and big as they are and done overnight and on rainy nights and so on, it stretches the imagination, and being done very well, very crisply. You know, it's just hard for, I think, people to take something that's so foreign seriously. It's like, well, your head just doesn't want to accept it, and so you dismiss it. The problem is, it happened. Certainly, there seems to be a solar theme. There certainly was in the beginning, and that seems to have been followed up. Whether we got it right in terms of the detail, or whether, I think in the broad strokes, yeah, we did get the idea that there was going to be solar activity from a quiet sun, and it happened.
And it happened within 72 hours of July 7th.
Yeah. And now the question is, going forward, what happens? Do we see more of these character strings? Do we get an opportunity to look at more of them and try to understand them? Do we see more concern about the sun? Are there other astronomical events that are depicted as a way of communicating in a non-threatening way? But the focus on the sun and the potential for serious activity as we go forward is certainly something that's going to be interesting to see if there's a follow-up. Relative to solar activity, if it becomes extremely strong, there could be significant damage to the highly industrialized countries, because we're so dependent on communication.
And satellites.
Satellites, power grid. If you look at what happens on a high-voltage system where you've got a three-wire system in three phases, and you've got this triangular structure with three wires connecting these things at either end, and then the center where the three coils, the windings of the transformer, where they're joined together in the center, that becomes the ground line, and that gets actually physically referenced to the local ground where that transformer is. Well, if you produce enough energy coming into the atmosphere and start producing potential differences on the surface of the Earth, that energy can go through the ground line and then run down all three of the transmission wires together. And that's not an AC current. It's a very large, massive DC current. And once you saturate the core of a transformer by putting a large DC current through it, that it stops acting as a transformer. The DC current alone can be enough to melt wires. and you can damage the transformer to the point where it put out of commission. And the big transformers, the 700,000 volt units and the 360,000 volt transformers, these things aren't nickel and dimes. They're very expensive, and they don't stock them on the shelf.
So if they get melted, it would take a long time to restore electricity to, let's say, a large city.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's why the space weather thing is so important in terms of giving the grids time to disconnect or do whatever they have to do to prevent operating during one of these major events. And the satellites, the issue of communications going down, potential damage to GPS satellites, intense radiation. There's lots of things that I'm sure are important enough that as we go forward, if there's this focus on the sun and potential strength of solar emissions, then it is kind of like somebody's trying to warn us about the potential risks associated with it. If it turns out to be so strong that there's nothing you can do and the satellites go down and so forth, then you're going to lose a lot of communications capability. And GPS, I mean, if GPS is damaged and the satellites were all fried, that's a major in terms of our ability to fly airplanes, navigate, et cetera.
And we could be dealing with an intelligence in the unseen that wants us to understand its language so that it could warn.
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly a possibility. That's why I think it is hard for your mind to just sit there and say, this is real, in the sense that you're looking at something that looks very alien, very kind of bizarre, but it's happening, and it's happening so big that it can't be a hoax or faked by people running around with boards and string.
Thanks for listening to this Earth Files podcast from the edges of science, environment, and real X-Files. Go to www.earthfiles.com to see more than 1,000 Earth Files reports with photographs, drawings, and documents. And visit Earth Files every day, every week, for new reports and new podcasts. That's www.earthfiles.com.